Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor-in-chief of the Mill Creek View newspaper.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast. We are focusing on the volunteer state and our nation today with always an interesting person making a positive change in our community. This time, very special guest, Kurt Cameron, exclusively for the whole show. Tune in tomorrow for the Return of Steve and Steve segment. For more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, visit us anywhere you get your podcasts and socials like Twitter and Truth at Mill Creek View, Tennessee. Welcome to our People in the News episode, where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. Today, we are talking with actor and author Kurt Cameron, who will be at the Nashville Public Library this Saturday, February 25th, on his book reading tour with As You Grow. Kurt Cameron was born in Panorama City, California. His parents named him after Captain Kirk, the William Shatner character from the original Star Trek series. A family friend in the business noted that both Kirk and his sister Candace were cute enough that they could easily pick up lucrative work in commercials. He found a more winning formula in 1985 with Growing Pains, playing the oldest son of a family headed by a psychiatrist, Alan Thicke, and a journalist, Joanne Kearns, characterized by with-it parents and mischievous but squeaky clean kids. On the show, Cameron played the incorrigible Mike Seaver, and his winning portrayal won over a large number of teen fans. Growing Pains ranked among Nielsen's top 20 network shows for its first four seasons, raising to number five in 1987-88 year. On the heels of his sitcom success, Cameron appeared in his first feature film in 1986, the Robin Williams, Kurt Russell, Glory Days comedy, The Best of Times. Cameron and his trademark smirk would grace covers of a raft of teen magazines. He played the son, father of Dudley Moore in Like Father, Like Son, 1987, firmly establishing as the resident star of Growing Pains, with fans sending him some 10,000 letters a week. In his autobiography, Still Growing, the family of his first girlfriend initially exposed the 17-year-old to evangelical Christianity. Cameron experienced what he would later describe as a life-changing encounter with Jesus and declared himself born again. He and wife Chelsea Noble are among the founders of Camp Firefly and the Firefly Foundation, which sponsors camping trips for terminally ill children and their families. They have six children, four of whom were adopted, Jack, Isabel, Anna, and Luke, and two biological kids, Olivia Rose and James Thomas Cameron. Mr. Cameron, how are you today, sir?
Steve, could you repeat all of that?
Not in one breath, no. I hope I did you justice.
My goodness. My whole life just flashed before my eyes as you were reading these things. I'm like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so well,
thanks,
10 of it grew up.
Up to speed.
10 of those years grew up before our eyes as well. And I have to say it, I was born in 1971. So there I was in 1985 watching Growing Pains at 14, like most of my friends, yeah. Pretty much up to 20. Yeah. Up to 1992, very formative years. And now I'm talking to you. So that's very exciting for me.
Yeah, man. Great to meet you. Great to meet you. Thanks for all the great work that you do. I love the flag that you have hanging behind you.
Thank you very much.
Mel Gibson in The Patriot.
Well, we are lovers of truth here, and American patriotism is what we're all about. So, you know, being Mike Seaver, did you feel a responsibility to the teenage boys out there watching you to be a role model?
I don't think in the very beginning I did, Steve. You know, I was Mike Seaver. He wasn't feeling a responsibility to Eddie and Boner during those days. He was just trying to have a good time. And so was I. But when I was about 17, 18 years old, I did recognize that we were one of the few shows that were trying to put forth the kind of values that would really help parents raise good kids. And so I knew as a role model for other 14, 15-year-olds that I wanted to do things that would help in that endeavor. And then certainly when I became a Christian, there was an increased sense of responsibility to be this family show and not, at the very least, not be part of things that would degrade morality. And I wanted to do things that would encourage faith and virtue. So in my 17-year-old way, that would come out in questioning certain plot lines in some of the episodes or some of the dialogue that would come out of my mouth, and change it to things that would be more appropriate. And sometimes that was received well. Sometimes that ruffled some feathers and caused some conflict. But at the end of the day, that was me trying to develop my chops as someone who loves truth, loves his family, and loves God and his country.
Awesome. Well, we loved you. And you were quoted as saying your mission in life was to love all people. A lot of child actors have really horrific stories growing up on set.
Like, can I say that? Corey Feldman. That sounds so cliche, right?
It's counterculture, actually. You know, Charlie Sheen probably didn't agree with you. How did you make it out there with such a wonderful biblical view of life and not the bitter wild child life?
Yeah. Well, you know, endeavoring to love all people needs to be qualified, defined, and specifically nuanced in order to understand what people mean, right? Today, loving whoever you want to love and loving all people is not the same thing as what Jesus said when he said, love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. So I would say that what was guiding me during those days was not my interpretation of what it meant to be good or what it meant to love people, but what began to guide me after I was about 17, 18 years old was God's word in the Bible. And I wanted my life to line up with the purpose God had created me for, which I learned about by reading his word. That's the great thing about the Bible is you don't really read the Bible. You discover that the Bible reads you and explains to you who you are, why you're here, where you're headed, who your maker is. And he can do some pretty miraculous and incredible things in your life and give you that sense of identity and purpose and belonging and get your eyes fixed on a worthy goal and a destiny. And that's really been the moral compass and the map for my career and the set of instructions that's helped me as a husband and as a father to raise my family. So that's how I navigated the water during those days.
That's well said. Your dad, Robert, is a retired school teacher. Did he tell you stories early on how bad the schools have become, where we'd be in a place today in this country where we have to legislate away CRT or drag queen story hour?
No, those things weren't called by those names back then, but certainly all of that Marxism, the ideas that lead towards socialism, we hear them so-called progressive ideas today, which are really not progressive. They're actually regressive. But if you don't know history, you're not aware of that. But these ideas like CRT and cancel culture, that's really the kind of ideas that will systematically overthrow a free republic like ours by usurping the authority of God and truth as defined by God and replacing it with the authority of the government, who desperately wants to persuade you to look to them to be your provider and your protector and your savior. Do what we say and you'll be safe. You deserve more. And so here, have this. We'll give this to you for free. And it's the cheese that they're hoping all the mice will come to so that they can snap the trap of socialism and communism on you. And by the time you realize what's going on, it's too late. That's what books like Animal Farm were about. That's what books like Brave New World, 1984, that we read in elementary and junior high and high school, that's what they were warning us against. And so we're living in those days now. It's eerie to read those books. You think, oh my goodness, how did they know that this is what it was going to be like? It's because it's happened in the past. We're not actually progressive in our ideas. We are becoming increasingly regressive and returning to pagan ways before the gospel and Christianity came and civilized people.
Those books like Frankenstein were supposed to be warnings, but they've been used like instruction manuals ever since. Candace Burr made news recently for keeping traditional marriage at the forefront of the movies on Great American Family, which is great. That she only does faith-based movies. So you both were raised right. She said, cancel culture is real. How's the industry treating her?
So, all right. So let's you and I take a lesson together in Russian pronunciation. It's Bure.
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 Bure. I should know that.
Abramowitz Cameron should know that. Bure. There you go. There you go. So she married a Russian hockey player, and his last name is Bure. She's doing really well. You know, the Bible tells us to consider it joy when we enter into various kinds of trials, because it's those trials and challenges that actually strengthen our convictions. It's where our faith is forged, is in the fire of challenge and difficulty. And so she's mature enough in her faith to understand that when she's being pushed up against, when she's being mocked and ridiculed, she says, you know, I've read about this kind of thing. I've read about it in history and I've read about it in the scriptures. And so my response is going to be to love those who hate me. I'm going to pray for those who persecute me. I'm going to do good to those who say all sorts of evil about me falsely, because they don't understand who I am and whose I am. And if they did, they would come around and they would join me in this mission to bring heaven to earth by doing things God's way. And so she's just continuing to pray and love people who say nasty things about her. I'm proud of her. And I know that there are millions who are following her and want to do things that way as well.
Awesome. And how is the industry treating you with your books and movie Connect in theaters February 27th and March 1st, I believe?
Well, Connect came out like 3 years ago, so we got to get you some updated bios. most recently, let's see. Well, a word about Connect. Connect was a documentary that I made about parenting teens in a social media world. That's a huge challenge for so many of us. Steve, you remember we didn't grow up having TikTok and Instagram accounts. We weren't messing around with that kind of thing. And so as parents, we've got to learn stuff that we never dealt with. Imagine our grandparents and how they feel. So I made that documentary. You can check that out. If you go to, I think it's connectmovie.com. You can find out more about how you can watch that, where it's streaming. But most recently, I made a movie called The Homeschool Awakening. That's a documentary of the explosion of homeschool families across the country that have been disenfranchised with public education, who believe that public education has become public enemy number one of their children's hearts and minds, of their souls, of their faith, of their virtue and morality. I talk to public school teachers all the time who are good people, who want to use their skills and their values to create a bright future for kids, but they're being controlled by a system that is ultimately broke because it went woke. And that's what woke does to everything that it touches. It makes it broke. You have a nation that goes woke, you'll be broke financially. Just give it time. You'll be broke politically. We're getting there. You'll be broke when it comes to religious freedom. All of that will be gone. And pretty soon, you will either get to the place where you have some sort of a revolution, which is what we see in the Revolutionary War, where you had the King of England that essentially had stripped away all freedom from the colonies, and they got together and they said, you know, God has a different plan, and his plan is to set captives free and to set at liberty the people who are in bondage, and I've got to learn how to govern myself under God, and then we're going to bring freedom to the rest of the people. We're not going to let tyrants just keep us under their boot. So that's why I made that movie. And there's others that we could talk about if you want, or maybe you want to switch to a different topic.
Well, your wife is an actress, Chelsea Noble, in Left Behind, the movie with Brad Johnson and you, and of course, Kate on Growing Pains. And together you founded the Firefly Foundation. What is that?
So the Firefly Foundation is a nonprofit organization that supports Camp Firefly. And Camp Firefly is a camp for terminally sick children and their families. We've been running this camp for 31 years now. We hold it as a week-long, all-expense-paid family vacation for families with children who are struggling with cancer and cystic fibrosis and other life-threatening illnesses. So it's a chance for moms and dads to get away. It's a chance for dads to meet up with other dads, moms with other moms for makeover days and golf days, time to hang out and just talk and make friends and memories together as a family that'll last them a lifetime. This is often something that these families are not able to afford. And it's a real bright light during a dark chapter of struggling with chemotherapy and hospitalizations and financial burdens. And so we try to help with all of that and strengthen these families for the journey.
Okay. You're pretty vocal about kids as young as 10 being the average age for getting their smartphones. And I think 10 is also the average age you said for sexting. I know it's not a Bible.com. So what else are kids into on phones that they should avoid?
Well, just for clarity, I'm not suggesting that those are good ages for those types of things. And some of that stuff is not good for people of any age. But my personal opinion, having six children who are all grown now, was that we found it really helpful to give our children the opportunity to learn how to handle technology under our supervision. Why would I keep something completely out of my kids' reach and then one day drop them off at college? Or because we homeschooled our kids, but if you're sending your kids off to elementary school, all of their friends have school and they're showing them porn in the bathroom. Right? They're in junior high school or high school, they're sexting their friends and doing all sorts of things. And so if you're sending your kids somewhere like that, you're not protecting them by just keeping away from them at home. What they need is more than just a filter service that you install on your internet at home. What they need is to download a moral fiber that will give them discernment between good and evil and want to choose the good. And we found that the best way to do that is first to model it for our kids. I think more is caught than taught. So if I want my kids to have integrity and to trust in the promises of God, to believe that if I choose to sin, I choose to suffer, well, then I've got to live that way myself, number one. Or else I'm just teaching them how to be a religious hypocrite. Where dad says to do this, but he himself doesn't do that. So the best way to destroy your children is more than just letting them run amok, actually give them lots of religious rules and then don't keep them yourself. And you will destroy them and you will seriously injure their ability to ever turn to the Lord because they see you as his representative and you're a joke. So I would say we got to lead by example. And then teach our children how to use all of the tools that will be available to them as adults and start when they're young so you can teach them how to use it. Just like your car. Don't throw your kids the car keys at 15 years old or 16 years old and say, hey, have a good time. Start when they're 10 and have them sit on your lap and learn how to steer. And then as they get older, they get more and more responsibility so that the time that they're 16, they can handle the car keys and they can be a safe driver.
Nice. Now you're going to be in Nashville this weekend, Saturday, with your children's book, As You Grow, which is a fun story with brilliant art that teaches the biblical truths of the fruit of the Spirit. Follow Sky Tree's journey from the small acorn to a mighty tree that provides shade, sustenance, and lodging. You had to overcome the National Association of Library censorship to tour libraries to read this book, but the drag queens had no problems. How did that journey go and how is the tour going?
The tour is going fantastic. I'm leading the charge. We're calling it the Freedom Island Tour. You're right. I wrote this children's book that talked about love and compassion and gentleness, self-control and wisdom. And over 50 woke libraries denied me from being able to come in and do a story hour for kids. But they had previously held drag queen story hours. Well, thousands of parents joined together with me and they flooded the library when I showed up and we had an amazing time singing the national anthem, reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, praying together and reading books like mine, which are part of the Freedom Island Book Club. We call it Freedom Island because Freedom Island is a real place. It's the United States of America. We are an island of freedom in a woke and broke world. And there are forces that are trying to make Freedom Island not so free. And if we want our children to have a free and prosperous future, they've got to learn fearless faith and moral integrity. Our founder said that a free republic like ours cannot be trusted in the hands of people who don't have faith and don't have virtue. That freedom would be dangerous for them. And so these are books that teach kids pro-God, pro-America values and deal with tough subjects like the dangers of communism, of cancel culture, of CRT, and teach the virtues of self-control, of overcoming fear, of freedom and faith. So the tour is going great. We've got 15 cities to visit across the country. More and more people are joining me at every stop. Governors, politicians, country music artists, athletes, celebrities. We're going to be in Nashville this Saturday. And if people want to join in and support this tour, you want to be a part of it, find out where we're going to be next, just go to bravebooks.com. That's bravebooks.com. And it would be awesome if you joined the Freedom Island Book Club. That'll send one of these books to your front door every month with a pro-God, pro-America value.
Very cool. Pastors over drag queens and, you know, Sam Smith and at the Grammys and Rihanna at the Super Bowl really stuck a sour note, I believe. I think what's happening at Asbury in Kentucky and here in Tennessee at Lee University, the revival may have just sparked all that, including your book tour. So what did you think of those performances in front of millions of kids versus what you're trying to accomplish? And then I'll let you go because I know you got to run.
You know, I'm thankful that people like that, performances like that, are all colluding together to be a great setup for revival in America. I think moral setbacks and spiritual setbacks are actually setups for an American comeback of fearless faith and moral integrity. And I'm excited to be leading the Freedom Island Tour Charge.
Me too. That's great. Well, thank you for your time. This was so fun. I really appreciate you coming on. We are at the end here. Please tell everyone where they can go and find out more about you, your socials, and how to follow you and anything else. And don't forget, this Saturday at Nashville Public Library, beginning at what time?
That's right. We start at 10 o'clock, but if you come early, we're gonna have a big event outside on the lawn in front of the library where we're going to sing the national anthem together. We're going to pray together and recite the Pledge of Allegiance before we go in. And we've got really cool friends who are showing up, like Missy Robertson from Duck Dynasty, Bethany Hamilton from Soul Surfer. She's going to be reading her book about overcoming fear. The country artist Ray Lynn is going to be there. Riley Gaines, the swimmer, she's going to be there. So it's going to be a great time. Just go to bravebooks.com and you can find out the locations and the times.
Awesome. We'll break a leg, as they say in the show business. And thanks again for coming on with us, and God bless you.
Good to meet you, Steve. Keep up the great work.
Steve and Steve segment of our show where we cover what we just heard. Producer Steve, what did you think of our guest, Kirk Cameron, a.k.a. Mike Sievers from the TV show Growing Pains?
Well, I like Kirk, and what I like about him is he knows the word of God. He's a guy after my own heart. You apply what you learn. If you just read it and it goes inside one ear and out the other, it does you no good. But when you actually take the word of God, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the marrow, cuts to your joints, cuts to your inner being, and it reveals who you really are. And then it gives you a roadway, a pathway out, a map of how to live a different life. And then, you know, as a Christian, you become empowered by the Holy Spirit. But, you know, the Bible is very clear that if, as like he said, you know, if you feed the sin, you're going to go in the wrong way. You're going to suffer for it. He was talking about with his kids that if you don't tell your children that there's going to be, for every action, there's a reaction. And when you do something sinful, you're going to pay the price.
But
when
how did he say it? He said catching, not teaching. I thought that was very good. Kids catch it. They don't get taught it. Cameron will be reading his children's book on the fruits of the Spirit, As You Grow, published by Brave Books in 14 cities from Nashville and Houston to Washington, D.C. and Seattle. Christian governors, representatives, senators, and celebrities will be joining Cameron at his story hours, including Arkansas Republican Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Duck Dynasty star Missy Robertson, and Rep. Dan Crenshaw, Republican, Texas. Country singer Kofi Anderson will sing Mr. Red, White, and Blue alongside Cameron in Savannah. So be sure to check that out. You know, Kurt, watching his show for all those many years, he got to work with two great guys, two great dads, Dudley Moore on Like Father, Like Son, and Alan Thicke as the dad on Growing Pains. Everyone wanted a cool, funny dad like Jason Seaver when I was young. On December 13th, 2016, Thicke collapsed while playing ice hockey with his son Carter at Pickwick Gardens in Burbank, California. The manager of the rink said he was talking and even joking to his son to take a photo as he was being wheeled out on a stretcher. Thicke died later that day of type A aortic dissection at the Providence St. Joseph Medical Center in Burbank at the age of 69. Kirk was a pallbearer. Let's go down memory lane, at least for me, with clip number one.
Dad!
Mike?
It is Mike, isn't it? No, it couldn't be. My Mike was supposed to be home at 1 a.m.
Dad, I know I missed my curfew.
Oh, well, you admit you have one. That's progress.
Hey, Dad, isn't tonight the time when we turn the clocks back to the time change?
No, Mike, that's in October, which is when you're going to be grounded till unless you give me a good explanation where you've been.
Okay.
No, wait. Let me get comfortable here. You know how I love these stories. So, what'll it be tonight, Mike? You saved some lives, I bet. Huh? Wait. I bet you ran into those darn gypsies again. Are you okay?
Dad, can I talk to you as a friend and not as a guy who could make my life miserable?
What's wrong, Mike?
Dad, I gotta know that what I tell you won't be used against me.
Okay, what is it?
So I have your word that whatever I say, you're not
going to... Mike, just say it, okay?
Okay. Me and Eddie and Boner, we ended up at a party where everybody was doing cocaine.
Cocaine?
Wait, Monica. Remember, you're not my dad, you're a friend.
Yeah. Cocaine? Really?
Yeah, and if you didn't do it, you were a wimp.
Cocaine?
Dad, I've never felt so much pressure in my life.
And?
Even from Boner and Eddie.
And?
Dad, it was like I didn't even have a choice.
And?
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it, as in you did not?
I didn't do the stupid drug.
Well, that's great, Mike. That's wonderful. I always figured you'd make that right choice if you had to face that, but I'm relieved,
Dad,
Mike.
Dad, that's not it.
What?
Dad... I've been thinking about this since the party. I mean, I have been driving and driving.
Mike, you did the right thing.
Yeah, that's what kills me.
I don't understand.
Dad, I know I did the right thing. It's just that I feel like everybody's gonna laugh at me. You know, and some of those people did laugh.
Mike, you're never gonna be able to please everybody.
Yeah, well, tonight I didn't please anybody.
Except yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what you did tonight took real courage, Mike. I admire you.
Thanks.
You sleep on it.
Good night, Dad.
Good night, Mike.
Thanks, Dad.
That was a nice little scene there, Steve.
Well, thanks for indulging me on that. Hopefully everyone's still tuning in. That was Kirk's acting mentor and one of his best friends, co-star Alan Thicke, as he describes in his autobiography. So back to his book, Tennessee public schools have lost more than 14,000 students since the start of the pandemic, with most switching to private schools and a lesser number newly homeschooled like Kurt's kids. A new report from the Urban Institute has found The report, which relies on state-level data collected by the Institute in collaboration with the Associated Press and Stanford University, traces enrollment shifts between the 2019-20 and the 2021-22 school years, when an estimated 1.2 million students left public schools nationwide. In Tennessee, there were 981,321 public school students enrolled in 2019. By the fall of 2021, that number had decreased to 967,278. According to the report, Tennessee had among the largest new enrollments in private schools, with 18,862 new private school enrollees, or about a 24% increase in private enrollment overall. By the fall of 2021, there were 98,452 students enrolled in Tennessee private schools. Homeschooling increased by more than 2,240 students to 13,600, a 20% increased enrollment. He has a thing called the Homeschool Awakening, Adventures of Dynamic American Families on a Mission to Put Fun and Faith Back into Learning. Steve, what do you think about this whole homeschooling idea?
I read overall it's jumped up to about 12 million students are now homeschooled. And if my kids were in a position of choosing school or choosing private school, I would probably be homeschooling them. We looked at homeschooling for a very short period of time there, but our schedules did not allow for it. And I know people who did homeschool, and it didn't mean that their kids turned out any better. In some cases, it was because the mothers were helicopter mothers, and rather than being there to walk their kids through the general public school system like we did, and thank God all of our three of our sons are love the Lord, love their parents, love each other, hardworking, don't take any guff off of anybody. And we had a couple run-ins in the public school that kind of gave us the idea that, hey, I'm supporting my sons even though the school's against them. I'm like, no, you don't treat my sons this way. But the homeschooling movement, I believe if it's a done, because it's a chance to really build within them a firm foundation of faith and of stick-to-itiveness and actual academics. I know so many people at the church that we're at now that have kids that are homeschooled, and they're wonderful kids. But like I said, you can rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Well, over amount of helicoptering parenting can also lead to rebellion as well. So the homeschooling parents need to balance that out. And like Kirk was saying, you're there to be the monitor, but to allow them to enter into the real adult world that we live in, and not protect them to the point where when they go out on their own, they're caught up. And that's the balance of between the public school, the private school, and the homeschool is, I believe, the parent's heart and the children. And each child's different, Steve. You can't.
And to be a child actor and to be raised on TV and on a set and to turn out like he did, and the type of parent that Jason Seaver was, fictionally speaking, or that he is with his adopted children and his right children, you know, he became a born again Christian while working on the show Growing Pains in 1985. That is a very unusual story that came out of Hollywood. He admits that his religious beliefs put him at odds with the show's writers, and that he flatly refused to do parts of the scripts as presented, but was willing to work around or to edit the offensive content. Pretty amazing for a teenager, especially one that wants to be a star. On the world's largest Christian television network now, and America's most watched faith and family channel, Trinity Broadcasting Network, in over 30 global networks reaching every inhabited continent, he has Takeaways with Kirk Cameron discusses pressing issues Christians are facing with compassionate, well-informed guests, and together find actionable takeaways that we can use today, this week, and this month to bring more of heaven to earth. Pretty cool.
I do. And, you know, the idea is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is part of the Lord's Prayer. And a lot there's such a faction within Christianity. They're just waiting for the Lord's return, just going to get us raptured out of here. And I'm like, you missed the point. 2,000 years, this world has actually gotten better. And yes, we have the Marxism, the Stalinism. We've had the Darklings trying to constantly mold us and do it. But overall, the world is a much better place than it was 300 years ago, 800 years ago. In most countries, Steve, it's illegal to have slaves. That wasn't the case 200 years ago, 500 years ago. There is still slavery today. We do know about that. But somebody who gets caught with child porn or sex with children are now criminals, whereas in many countries prior to Christianity coming in there, it was just part and parcel of their culture. So we need to bring the kingdom of God into this earth. And you've over the last several months have brought in excellent guests who are doing that. They're taking their faith, they're going into the business realm, they're going in the political realm, into the community realm, into the school realm, and they're being real with their faith, and they're seeing changes, and people are getting voted in, people are overturning their school boards, and that is a work of the Holy Spirit in individuals who are activated, just like Kirk is, just like you are, Steve, just like I am. We're activated. That's the important thing.
And his fictitious family and his real life mother and father who raised him and his sister, Mrs. Abure, are doing fantastic work in the culture to move that forward. So we're happy that he joined us, and I'm proud to tell everybody about his book to be read this weekend in Nashville, Tennessee. Stay tuned for my thought of the week. Welcome to my Thought of the Week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Rumble or iHeart app and hit the subscribe button and follow us. And thanks for doing it. If you had the cure to cancer, wouldn't you share it? You have the cure to death. Get out there and share it. The Bible, Kirk Cameron. God speaks with authority on every subject, including marriage, and his advice trumps Oprah's every time. Put your nose into the Bible every day. It is your spiritual food, and then share it. Make a vow not to be a lukewarm Christian. Perhaps the thought of going to hell doesn't alarm you because you don't believe in it. That may be your belief, but if hell exists, your lack of belief won't make it go away. Standing on a freeway and saying, "I don't believe in trucks," won't make the 18-wheeler disappear. The church as a whole has strayed quite far from biblical evangelism. That is sharing the gospel in the way that Jesus did, the way the Apostle Paul did, and the rest of the disciples and prophets in Scripture. Kirk Cameron, what a guy, all grown up. That's it for this episode. Really hope you liked it. Thank you, Kirk Cameron, for bringing the good word and the good news to our kids. Until next time, this is your host, Steve Abramowitz, editor of the Mill Creek View newspaper and mcview.us website. Please subscribe. And as always, peace. In our time.
County Fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother, row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like rolling thunder.
Any views or opinions represented on the podcast are personal and belong solely to the creator and do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the creator may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated.